Well, welcome to A Course in Miracles and Thursday evening tree talk. We're going to discuss a metaphysical thing, of course, an aspect that everybody's, we're studying oneness, right? That's our long-term horizon, understanding the most healing thought you could have would be the awakening in your mind of oneness. You know, real oneness. It's a term that we can say, but the meaning of it must escape you while you are in time, in space, while you are busy venturing in differences. And you are having a huge adventure in differences right now. Congratulations. You did it. You did it. You did it. You've separated. You've individuated, and that was a gift. And then you separated, and that was a cost. And so your separation now is to be healed, because separation is a sickness. Individuation is not. Separation is you have gone to this point where you have become blinded now by the idea of being alone. The idea of actually somehow not being connected to your source. You've tried very hard to accomplish this, and you have done it. This is a sickness only because it's impossible. It is not preferable, because to accomplish this fantasy, you had to find a way to block the awareness of love, of oneness, of actual sharing had to be blocked so that you could pursue this idea, this fantasy of separation, and you did. You have so much power. You are so loved. Your source embraces any thought you wish to hold. This is the thought you wish to hold, and you may keep it. Separation, being alone, being disconnected from all. You may do that. You are so loved, and you are so empowered because of what you are. You may do this for as long as you like. And since you have made time, you may do this by your own definition, wait for it, forever. The only thing that would call you back is because you get a chill in your heart. You see, in order for you to get this far away from love, you had to cut off your awareness of it. And that estrangement empties you every time you come across further division. What's further division? Guilt, fear, a sense of evil, a sense of sin. All these are divisions that are so perfect for separation. I mean, they really, really work. However, there's a cost. And when you make them real, it hollows out your soul a little bit. It hollows out your heart. But it makes separation stronger, see? But it does have a cost. This fantasy, this impossible fantasy of separation has a cost. And it's wearisome to continue to pay the cost, because it hollows out your heart, your soul. Why? How does it, why does it necessarily hollow it out? Is because what you are is indeed the oneness. It is indeed love, and your life in the abstract is sharing with a capital S. And you're not allowed to do that here in order to maintain separation. The reversing of this fantasy is what we're doing. Each step that we make back toward the light, back toward oneness, back toward love with a capital letter, back toward anything with a capital letter, has the opposite effect, because it starts to fill your heart, fill your soul, and reconnect you with oneness. It does not make more oneness, and you don't actually learn more of oneness. See, that's never changed. So celebrate that nothing has been harmed, that none of your true essence has been harmed. You have not lost anything of value in your adventure into separation. But now, each of you and me have been called to make the journey back to oneness. That's now part of the adventure. This is the gain now that interests you. For a while, it was the end of the existential pain from living under the ego's terms. But then you got a glimpse of a holy instant here and a holy instant there, and you thought, wow, you know what? There's more to my spiritual freedom than just the end of pain. Didn't you? Didn't you glimpse that? Didn't some part of you connect with something so much bigger than your entire life? So it must not be just pain of living as a body that's drawing you. There must be more, and there is more. The road we travel together tonight, the step that we take tonight, is the metaphysical idea of sameness. You have to appreciate that now awoken, mind now awoken in you, tends to serve two masters. Trying to serve two masters is chaotic. One master, of course, is the analytical linear ego that speaks English and reads books and, you know, the whole world, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful, but it's very limited. The other master is your true being. The other master is that sense that you get in your deepest meditation when you go still and you find a peace that goes beyond understanding. You find a spaciousness. You find a white light. You find a simplicity. You find whatever it is that is your highest ability to reach in those holy instances that have come your way. Now this invites you for your healing. And tonight we take a stepness in your step in your healing that we're embarking on with sameness, this word sameness. This word sameness is chosen for tonight. When you think sameness, I hope you sort of feel a hug. When you think that your spiritual eye, with vision could be opened to start translating what appears to be different into sameness. The eyes report differences, but you have the ability in your awakening to translate to what everything has in common. This is a bridge that brings all differences together, and they evaporate into the fantasy from where they came. Every loving thought stands out and, of course, is embraced. So, in A Course in Miracles, there is a two-sided coin, part of the teaching of the book, that handles relationships. It describes the special relationship, which is a relationship that's based on selected and preferred differences. It can be quite fun, in between being quite painful. And this you accept to be normal and real. But it is blinding, because it has become a substitute for the holy relationship. Tonight we will look a little bit at the holy relationship. The holy relationship, put the W in there, holy, is based on sameness. It still has all the color and the variety that relationships afford, but it goes through the translating filter of your Holy Spirit, and even when differences seem to arise, with the gift of the Holy Spirit and the counsel of your awakenings, you see sameness, and everything is an invitation to more love rather than competition. Another way to look at this two-sided coin, the separate competing relationship. One side is competing. At best, you're willing to compete on the same team, you and your chosen relationship partner, against the world, against the odds, against everybody else. At worst, you compete with each other. And you try to best each other and keep score. It gets very sad. Entertaining, I'll say. It's entertaining. I'll keep you interested and fighting and energized. But it's certainly not loving. The other way, and this is what happens when you convert from the special competing relationship, you flip it over, same relationship, same person, same issues, okay? None of that. The world doesn't have to change, but you do. What changes? You change now, and you invite your Holy Spirit to now be creative instead of competitive. To be creative instead of competitive. Your creative heart finds ways to join when differences show up. To support, to share, to understand, to heal, to love when differences show up. Whereas the ego just competes its way through and says, I told you I was right, and now you know for sure I was right. It's so ugly. The key to turning it from competitive to creative tonight, the word is sameness. The guide is sameness. Let's take a look and see what we can learn together. Let's have Jesus weigh in. Turn to page 467 in your text, 467, chapter 22, Salvation and the Holy Relationship. Luann, when you get there, we're resuming on paragraph 3. I will translate that for Cecilia. Paragrafo tres. So I get your mute, Luann.
Okay.
We're on page 467. We're on paragraph 3. And Luann is going to sing it for us.
I'm going to try.
Oh, boy, here comes.
Ahoy, relationship starts from a different premise. And then each one has looked within and seen no lack. Accepting his completion, he would extend it by joining with another, whole as himself. He sees no difference between these selves, for differences are only of the body. Therefore, he looks on nothing he would take. He denies not his own reality because it is the truth. Just under heaven does he stand, but close enough not to return to earth. For this relationship has heaven's holiness. How far from home can a relationship so like to heaven be?
Mm. And Jacqueline, would you read for us the last paragraph? I got your mute.
Think what a holy relationship can teach. Here is belief in differences undone. Here is the faith in differences shifted to sameness. And here is sight of differences transformed to vision. Reason now can lead you and your brother to the logical conclusion of your union. It must extend as you extended when you and he join. It must reach out beyond itself as you reached out beyond the body to let you and your brother be joined. And now the sameness that you saw extends and finally removes all sense of differences so that the sameness that lies beneath them all becomes apparent. Here is the golden circle where you recognize the Son of God, for what is born into a holy relationship can never end.
We take a miracle, and that's exactly what you get. And a translation happens. A new filter comes before you, seeing through now through vision. And you truly can, even though the world shows differences, you really can now appreciate the sameness that you share. This is a journey that goes beyond words, a journey beyond the body, but it's a journey without distance, because you must still behold what the body's eyes showed you for an instant. But you see them with what the mind's vision as a correction. That's your healing. And now you have what the Course calls you save the world. It's very important work. And every single person is going to do it. Every single beholder of the world, every aspect of mind that is the movie house of the world must see this oneness. You will not rest. You will not return to a heaven, if you will, without this correction. Yes, Don.
So I just want to kind of reflect what I heard you say. So in a holy relationship, you do initially, you perhaps will perceive a difference or error, but almost immediately, seeing with the mind, the Holy Spirit mind, you will see reality or the correction.
That's correct.
Okay.
You don't feel the error. You see the error.
See, but don't feel it.
But you don't feel it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You understand the error, but you don't feel it. It makes you a teacher of God instead of a teacher of the ego, who sees it, feels it, judges it, punishes it, etc. Remembers it. Suffers from it. But the teacher of God goes to the exact same situation, sees the errors, but the teacher of God's perception, if you will, experience of the same world, the same relationship, is blessed by 10 points of a healed mind that make up love itself. These 10 points are trust. The healed mind also uses honesty. The healed mind is gentle. The healed mind defaults to joy. The healed mind knows only defenselessness. The healed mind is patient by its own nature. It is generous. The healed mind is open-minded. And it has faith in this oneness that we're discovering tonight. These are all attributes of love that are described in the manual for teachers. And whatever situation comes up, this tolerant, healed mind is not a struggle. It does not feel the same loss that the unhealed mind is feeling and pursuing. Rather, it sees the call for love and that it can't resist this invitation to be the bringer of love. Because if you can see a call for love, you are the chain. You are the broken link in the chain if you don't bring the love. You are there. Miracle Principle 8 says that you temporarily have more will bring one who temporarily has less. Miracle Principle 25 says you will provide the forgiveness that forms the links in the chain that form the atonement. That becomes your role, and there can't be a holier role than that here, to be the bridge from the dark to the light, from the sick to the well. And you know that this is for you to do in your mind. Who knows what your body and your mouth will do? But I know what it won't do. It won't be judging. It won't be defending. It won't be separating. It won't be doubting. It won't be stingy. It won't be faithless. It won't be close-minded. It will be loving. So, congratulations, everybody, because that's what you are learning here with the Course in Miracles. Keep it up every day. Take a piece with you when you go to sleep at night. And let's do some right now. Let's have Jesus weigh in. And let's go back and look over these two paragraphs. 467 now, paragraph 3. So we just, last week we learned about the idea of the unholy relationship is based on differences. And yeah, we got that. Now, the holy relationship, it starts from a different premise. And I put that in words. And I gave you a two-sided coin early in our meeting today. One side is competition. And you flip it over with the help of the Holy Spirit. The other side is creative. Creative. You bring forth something that is worthy of permanence. So a whole relationship starts with a different premise. Each one has looked within and seen no lack. That takes a miracle. You're certainly not listening to the ego. You had a little holy instant has occurred to you to look in within and see no lack. It's fundamental to this Course in Miracles. It knows that your ego needs lack to operate. You don't have enough. You need more. You're not good enough. If only you had a little more of this, a little more of that, a few more of these. Look at the Miracle Principle 42 real quick. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. I just want you to be reminded that this idea of lack is well known by the author. and it's required by the ego. It's going to bust the ego by finding wholeness instead of lack. Look at Miracle Principle 42. 41 and 42.
Page what?
It's page 6. Way up front. And Ross, would you read those two miracle principles when you get there?
I got my mute.
Well, I saw you reaching for it, so I thought I'd let you handle that this time.
Wholeness.
And you know what? Could you read 34 first, and then 41, and then 42?
Miracles restore the mind to its fullness. By atoning for lack, they establish perfect protection. The spirit's strength leaves no room for intrusions. 41, wholeness is the perceptual content of miracles. They thus correct or atone for the faulty perception of lack. 42, a major contribution of miracles is their strength in releasing you from your false sense of isolation, deprivation, and lack.
Amen. The ego requires the lack. It's part of your addiction to that allows you to stay in time and in space. Time you made so everything doesn't happen all at once. Space you made so it doesn't all happen to you. Ross, did you have your hand up?
Well, since we're on those negatives like lack, I also remember that part of the unholy relationship is that we mistake sacrifice for love.
Nice.
Our ego. But it isn't mentioned here. It's in another section. So
that is absolutely.
It came up for me. So
teach us, Ross. Teach us. Yeah, that's important. And that helps understand the ego's angle on specialness. How could sacrifice be considered an attribute of love to the ego? What does it look like?
I mean, I always think of Casablanca, you know, and Humphrey Bogart, you know, makes this big sacrifice and it's supposed to be seen as love. And I was always like, yeah, but that didn't really do much. I mean, he sent the woman and the husband off on the plane, you know, and wow.
Tell me, Ross, tell me your eyes didn't glaze up a little bit when that happened. I guess not.
Yeah, but
mine did. Still scratching the world.
Still scratching my head. Like, I don't know if that's really love.
And I'll prove that I love you by not looking
jumping off a cliff.
Yeah,
for you. Somehow that's good.
Yeah, yeah. I will sacrifice my Friday and Saturday nights with my buddies bowling or dirt bike riding and hang out with you every single Friday, every Saturday, and to prove that I love you. Or I will sacrifice chocolates or paycheck to roses. These are all symbols that in the right light are beautiful. But to the ego, they're also payment. They are a sacrifice that proves love. Show me, make me feel that you love me. What's it going to be? Are you going to say the words just the way I like to hear them? Are you going to pay the amount of money for something, anything, so that I know that you mean it? Is it going to be your time that you give up for me? Is this how I will finally know that you love me? What else am I missing?
Just the word, oh, you owe me.
Is that right?
I mean, back to Casablanca, he loves her, she loves him, but even though he really, really wants to have her be his special relationship, You know, it's not like this, like the course where it would be like, oh, well, I love everybody, therefore I can do this without any catch or tie. No, you need to remember that I did this for you for the rest of your life because I got you that passport for you and your husband, and you are going to remember it, and I'm going to be in pain for the rest of my life. It's just so messed up. Not course-like at all. And we champion that, you know, in our ego selves.
Yep. And then with the tick of the clock, it measures a little time disappearing. With the tick of the calendar, it measures years disappearing from your life. And so you better, you know, lack is costing. It's cost. Time is costing you something valuable. Tim, yeah.
Too much energy. These are shadows. These are images. These are fantasies. These are pieces of celluloid projected by a bright light onto a screen. We're getting all worked up about what? The bigger understanding is to stop investing energy in it. Who cares whether Humphrey Bogart truly loves or doesn't love or whatever else? Get the picture.
Good. It's tell us. Teach us. Teach real. Us, Tim. What is it that we are going to forgive? What are we going to let go? What are we going to release?
What are we going to release? We're going to release the misunderstanding that what we think we see around us is real. That's what we're going to release.
That it's real and that it is mana. That it feeds us. That it provides our happiness.
Well, how can you eat something and have nutrition from something that's got zero calories?
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
You can spend a lifetime pretending it's there and then another lifetime and another lifetime and another lifetime, and we do. But, I mean, finally, get over it. Stop seeing what you think you see and instead practice. I mean, the prayer is, dear God, please let me see through the fog today into what is actually there. I'm
yes.
tired of this. I will learn my lessons. It's a classroom. Thank you. Yes. And I would like more than anything else just to wake up.
Yes.
Just to be done with this. Who cares about Humphrey Bogart?
Yes. And how would I know the direction of waking up versus going further?
It feels good.
Oh, sometimes getting chocolate or having somebody sacrifice for me feels good,
come
too.
Come on, stop it. You're talking to an advanced class here.
Good.
Give it up with the chocolate.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
We are supposed to enjoy ourselves as humans.
I'm not saying that you don't enjoy yourself as a human being. Enjoying yourself is feeling better. That's a sign that you're moving closer to God.
Sometimes enjoying myself is having a bite of chocolate.
Okay, turn back.
You're level one, level two here.
You know, Tim's on it. Go to tonight's page where
chocolate
you had your finger.
This is making my headache worse.
Okay, good. So let's have Jesus weigh in and put his finger
where
on the discussion.
Where?
Go to page 463. And look at that last question that's in italics.
And do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth?
Not because it feels good.
Because it's the truth.
The truth is not that it feels good, but it gets known. It's a type of feeling that you didn't have before. Ego doesn't have the feelings of understanding, true understanding, oneness. It's like an emotion that the ego couldn't feel, but in your spiritual awakening, the truth has this draw. The truth has this embrace of understanding. This is my experience that has kept me continuing to awaken in any way possible. And I know the direction, not because it necessarily feels good, but an understanding occurs, a knowing occurs, a peace occurs.
I would argue that there's a level one, level two feel good. Okay? So there's the feel good of chocolate. There's the feel good of a brand new Tesla that does zero to whatever.
Okay.
And then there's the feel good that comes from level one, where you all of a sudden you get the lifting of the illusion and you go, oh, thank God. And it's like soaking into a hot bath.
Yeah, yeah. You got
That's
it.
Also a feel good. And it does take place in the sense of because it is the truth.
Yep.
And how do I know that? Because like you, dot, dot, dot. You're there's not all the same word than that.
Yep. There's in your moments of the holy instant, there's a little transportation. That's the word the Course uses. A little transportation occurs.
Sorry for shouting.
No problem. Love it.
As you pointed out before, passionate.
You bet. Wake us all up, man. Bring it.
Because it matters.
It matters. It matters.
All right. I'll stop.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, brother. Kenny, I got your mute. Hang on a second. Okay, bring it.
I want to see those guys as who they really are.
Yes.
The words don't mean anything.
Yes.
I want to see Bridget who she is, not her words.
Yes. Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful.
The tears of all the years I denied it.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you.
It's a practice.
Thank you, Kenny.
God.
Worth it. Worth it.
Yes, it is.
And it's an undoing. She's there. Can't see her because of the words and the meaning the ego puts on the words.
Yeah.
But she's there, and she's there in your heart.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Okay. So now page 467, paragraph 3. Whole relationship starts from a different premise. Each one has looked within and seen no lack. Accepting his completion, he would extend his completion by joining with another whole as himself. A oneness, joining as one. A oneness joining as one. He sees no difference between these selves, for differences are only of the body. And they remain, the differences remain of the body and the brain and ideas and political preferences and etc. Those differences remain, but they are no longer competitive because you'll see. How are they not competitive? You'll see. Watch. Therefore, he looks on nothing that he would take, indicating another discussion the Course in Miracles had earlier about special relationships, as you choose a partner for what you can take from them, filling a lack of yours. They are orderly and responsible, and you're not. But you're a great provider, but you can't keep it once you make it. But they can keep it. Oh, what a good team. Etc. He denies not his own reality because his own reality is the truth. So you're not sacrificing your own reality. Just under heaven does he stand, comma, but close enough not to return to earth. Just under heaven does he stand. But close enough, he does not return to earth. It's a blessed place. This reminds me of the Bodhisattva vow, where you would not take your completion, you would not take your complete awakening until all your brothers can come with you. How loving is that? You can afford it. When you come very close to your spiritual awakening, you can afford infinite time, right? Part of your awakening is that there is no time. When you come close to your spiritual awakening, you can afford infinite resources of all types because they were all imagined. Any lack was imagined. So why leave anything in the state of lack? Anything at all? So, of course, you will come close to heaven, but without claiming it completely so as to be blind to what you still see. If any part of you can possibly still see a difference, you become the light of the world to shine away any darkness. This becomes your job. Gladly, gladly.
Andrew, earlier you said, competition with the help of Holy Spirit flips it over to creation.
Yes.
Holy relationships creation.
Yes.
Something that lasts forever.
Something that lasts forever.
Thank you.
When you're having an argument, let's say, in a special relationship that's starting to get ugly, rather than pursuing that from a competitive aspect and showing how right you are and how wrong they are, you would seek to understand. You would seek to be understood. You're not seeking to win anymore. You're seeking to share. You might need to get creative in your words, creative in your perspective of the other, creative in order to lovingly understand, and then you will join.
In fact, it's essential for the Bodhisattva to be creative in such a way. A teacher can't teach anything to students if he doesn't understand the language in which they speak, the metaphors that they live in, the symbology and the language that they use. He's got to know that. So he's like a skillful surgeon. He knows how to cut just a little bit here, a little bit more there, two or three stitches in the third place. That's the beauty of a Bodhisattva, somebody who now has that understanding of how to go ahead and reach out and heal other people with maximum skillfulness.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Collapsing time in a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said, Tim. I also read, now I forget the source, but of a great teacher is one not who brings anything new, but helps a student release what is not wanted.
There it is.
Release the untrue. Yeah. Ah, okay. Right. And then four is a nice repeat of what we've been talking about. Think. What a holy relationship can teach here, the holy relationship, is the belief in difference is undone. Here is the faith in difference is shifted to sameness. And here is sight of differences transformed to vision. Reason now can lead you and your brother to the logical conclusion of your union. And it must extend your union. Your conclusion of union and sameness, it must extend as you extended when you and he joined. It must reach out now beyond itself as you reached out beyond the body to let you and your brother be joined. And by the way, spirit is beyond body, obviously, right? There is even a spirit of the ego that keeps the ego consistent in all possible circumstances. There's a small s spirit of the ego. And it is also beyond the ego. The ego is just a thought. The spirit of the ego is bigger than the ego, any circumstance of the ego. You're now using that power, the same. See, spirit is in mind, isn't it? Right? Spirit is ultimately versatile. Is that true? Right. Because spirit's invisible. Any manifestation becomes visible and then fixated and then competitive. But if you go back up to what everything is made from, it's made from spirit. Mind is the activating agent of spirit. So you're manipulating and working now in mind. And this is part of your spiritual awakening, is your tool goes from the physical to the spiritual, from the material to the essential. You start to speak now in meaning without having the words be so perfect. Your body language speaks louder because you're relaxed and your eye sockets are open. Your shoulders are down, right? When you're peaceful and loving, it's on your face. It's on your, you're there. You're not in a hurry. You're not defending yourself and you're not afraid. And the person sees all of this, even though they've said some pretty nasty things. They're expecting you to say your nasty things, but you know, you've healed and you're patient with them. As you seek only love.
And thus you teach.
Yes. Beautiful. You teach by example and by your own freedom. Yeah. It only takes one to have a holy relationship. But it does go beyond, right? It's contagious. It's absolutely contagious. And you know that. Okay. And now the sameness that you saw extends and finally removes all sense of differences, so that the sameness that lies beneath them all becomes apparent. I love it. He's summing it up. He's saying, where does this go? Here's the golden circle where you recognize the capital S, Son of God. For what is born into a holy relationship can never end. Why? Because it's creative. Where's Kenny? You still there, Kenny? When Kenny sees Bridget as a son of God, it will be a creation. His contribution, his bridge that once had the possibility of war, no more. It's gone. Okay. Let's.
Question?
Yeah, please.
Concerning what you said about Kenny. I loved having Bridget and Kenny in our group before.
Yeah.
And I've been wondering where she's been, where she is, how she's doing. And I'm thinking, I'm almost positive the answer is yes, but I'm thinking that when Kenny is able to see Bridget as himself, as love, if she doesn't know that. On some level, I think she knows it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Even if she's not, you know, within hearing distance, I think she knows it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Those two are walking together.
I don't know, Bridget. Is this somebody you guys must know, have history with Kenny and Bridget?
Yeah, it's his wife.
Okay.
They're working A Course in Miracles together, and they're working in relationship together.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump in, and let's start the next section. I think, Don, you're up. Would you read for us paragraph 1 of the message of the holy relationship? We're going diving in deep on the holy relationship.
Okay. Let reason take another step. If you attack whom God would heal and hate the one he loves, then you and your creator have a different will. Yet if you are his will, what you must then believe is that you are not yourself.
And by the way, well, I guess we'll get there. Go ahead.
You can indeed believe this, and you do. And you have faith in this and see much evidence on its behalf. And where, you wonder, does your strange uneasiness, your sense of being disconnected, and your haunting fear of lack of meaning in yourself arise? It is as though you wandered in without a plan of any kind, except to wander off. For only that seems certain.
Does this guy know what we're going through or what?
Holy shit.
Indeed. This is your teacher. This is your teacher who is writing this to you, who is guiding you. I love it. It's so assuring. You read words like that. I mean, that's why I say this book knows me better than I know myself. And I'm really happy to be in the hands of this teacher to lead me back.
Thank God.
Oh, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Thank the truth. The light has come, folks. The light has come. Kenny, you want to try to read a paragraph? Okay. Albert, would you unmute yourself and then read for us paragraph 2?
Yet we have heard a very similar description earlier, but it was not of you. But still this strange idea, which it does accurately describe, you think is you. Reason would tell you that the world you see through eyes that are not yours must make no sense to you. To whom would seeing such as this send back its messages? Surely not you, whose sight is wholly independent of the eyes that look upon the world. If this is not your vision, what can it show to you? The brain cannot interpret what your vision sees. This you would understand. The brain interprets to the body of which it is a part. But what it says you cannot understand, yet you have listened to it. And long and hard you try to understand its messages.
Oh, yeah. We will dig into that in just a moment.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's another deep teaching coming your way. Paragraph 3 would be for Dr. Day. I got your mute.
I have to confess the page number.
Oh, 468. And it's paragraph 3, 468, okay. Paragraph 3.
Got it. Thank you. You have not realized it is impossible to understand what fails entirely to reach you. You have received no messages at all. You understand. For you have listened to what can never communicate at all. Think then what happens. Denying what you are and firm in faith that you are something else, this quote, something else, unquote, that you have made to be yourself becomes your sight. That it must be the, quote, something else, unquote, that sees. And as not you explains its sight to you, as if it was something else and it could do so. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your vision would, of course, render this quite unnecessary. Yet if your eyes are closed and you have called upon this thing to lead you, asking it to explain to you the world it sees, you have no reason not to listen, nor to suspect that what it tells you is not true. Reason would tell you that it cannot be true because you do not understand it. God has no secrets. He does not lead you through a world of misery, waiting to tell you at the journey's end why he did this to you.
That was perfectly read. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, you get a real out here. You don't have to get it. You don't have to understand the ego's interpretations. You'll go in, your heart will light up. Your embrace of trust and honesty is so much more interesting. Your generosity, your tolerance, your faith is so easy, much easier than your doubt and your judgment. You don't need to understand the ego.
This is an explanation of the grand illusion in this one paragraph. You think there's something outside of you leading you, explaining how it all works and where you need to go in order to be happy and what your mistakes are, yada, yada, yada. It's wrong. It's an illusion. Give it up. And that's the hardest part because it's so difficult to see above and beyond it.
Amen.
And the person who manages to see outside of this box gets the grand prize. That's the gold ring.
Amen, brother. That's it. That's the illusion that the ego has the answers. And you just have to listen and try harder. Be healthier, wealthier, and wiser, and you'll attract better friends, and your happiness will be sealed.
It's a lot of work and so worth it.
Good. Good. Yes. Yeah. The Course Elsewhere says you have to step out of an insane thought system in order to see that it is insane. You have to step out, even just for a moment. That's all it takes. Thank you, Tim. Beautifully. Well done. Jason, would you give us paragraph 4? I got your mute.
Okay. What could be secret from God's will? Yet you believe that you have secrets. What could your secrets be except another will that is your own apart from his? Reason would tell you that this is no secret that need be hidden as a sin, but a mistake indeed. Let not your fear of sin protect it from correction, for the attraction of guilt is only fear. Here is the one emotion that you made, whatever it may seem to be. This is the emotion of secrecy, of private thoughts, and of the body. This is the one emotion that opposes love and always leads to sight of differences and loss of sameness. Here is the one emotion that keeps you blind, dependent on the self you think you made to lead you through the world it made for you.
God, that's great. I got to make
a puzzle.
Note.
That is so good.
Such an interesting thing I need to make.
So true, so true.
Yeah. Or something else. Okay, thank you, Jason. And now, Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 5?
Your sight was given you, along with everything that you can understand. You will perceive no difficulty in understanding what this vision tells you, for everyone sees only what he thinks he is. And what your sight would show you, you will understand because it is the truth. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. Only your vision can convey to you what you can see. It reaches you directly without a need to be interpreted to you. What needs interpretation must be alien. Nor will it ever be made understandable by an interpreter you cannot understand.
Beautifully said. Follows up on paragraph 3 perfectly. Thank you, Deborah.
We missed paragraph 4, or was that me missing it?
She just read paragraph 5.
I know, but I don't remember anybody reading 4.
We did. It was Jason.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Y ahora, Cecilia, leer paragrafo 6, por favor.
Hold on. Of all the messages you have received and failed to understand, this course alone is open to your understanding and can be understood. This is your language. You do not understand it yet only because your whole communication is like a baby. The sound a baby makes and what he hears are highly unreliable, meaning different things to him at different times. Neither the sound he hears nor sights he sees are stable yet. But what he hears and does not understand will be his native tongue, through which he will communicate with those around him and they with him. and the strange shifting ones he sees about him will become to him his comforters, and he will recognize his home and see them there with him.
Oh, so beautiful. Again, the Bodhisattva vow, little hinting of what it's like to take all your loving pieces with you. We're back to Luann. Would you read for us paragraph 7?
So in each holy relationship is the ability to communicate instead of separate, reborn. Now the holy relationship, so recently reborn itself from an unholy relationship, and yet more ancient than the old illusion it has replaced, it's like a baby now in its rebirth. Still, when this infant vision returned to you, and he will speak the language you can understand. He is not nurtured by the something else you thought was you. He was not given there, nor was received by anything except yourself. For no two brothers can unite except through Christ, whose vision sees them one.
Nice. Nice. Beautiful. We'll talk about Christ's term when we get there, this aspect of mind, this beautiful gift, a part of your awakening. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 8?
Thank what is given you, my holy brother. This child will teach you what you do not understand and make it plain. For his will be no alien tongue. He will need no interpreter to you, for it was you who taught him what he knows because you knew it. He could not come to anyone but you. Never.
By the way, just in case we don't get around to this paragraph the same way, how many people here have actually been teachers in a classroom or in front of a bunch of people for any reason? You have to teach a group somehow. So please start over, and you teachers, listen to Jesus counseling you on how teaching is learning. Please start over.
Think what is given you, my holy brother. This child will teach you what you do not understand and make it plain. For his will be no alien tongue. He will need no interpreter to you, for it was you who taught him what he knows, because you knew it. Because
see the circle.
He could not come to anyone but you, never to something else. Where Christ has entered, no one is alone, for never could he find a home in separate ones. Yet must he be reborn into his ancient home, so seeming new and yet as old as he, a teeny newcomer, dependent on the holiness of your relationship to let him live.
And also, I'll remind you of the beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
What lessons come from the beginner's mind are so advanced. Okay, Ross, you bring us number 9.
Oh, never mind.
We'll spend some time on that paragraph when we get there.
Certain God did not entrust his son to the unworthy. Nothing but what is part of him is worthy of being joined. Nor is it possible that anything not part of him can join. Communication must have been restored to those who join. For this they could not do through bodies. What then has joined them? Reason will tell you that they must have seen each other through a vision not of the body, and communicated in a language the body does not speak. Nor could it be a fearful sight or sound that drew them gently into one. Rather, in each, the other saw a perfect shelter where his self could be reborn in safety and in peace. Such did his reason tell him. Such he believed because it was the truth.
Because it was the truth. I hope that's ringing a bell. Don, would you read for us paragraph 10?
Here is the first direct perception that you can make. You make it through awareness older than perception, and yet reborn in just an instant. For what is time to what was always so?
Mm-hmm.
Think what that instant brought. The recognition that this something else you thought was you is an illusion. And truth came instantly to show you where yourself must be. It is denial of illusions that calls on truth. For to deny illusions is to recognize that fear is meaningless.
Very powerful sentence. We will certainly investigate that when we get there.
Into the holy home where fear is powerless, love enters thankfully, grateful that it is one with you who joined to let it enter.
Wow. And finally, Albert, would you, you got to unmute yourself, and would you read for us number 11?
Christ comes to what is like himself, the same, not different. For he is always drawn unto himself. What is as like him as a holy relationship? And what draws you and your brother together draws him to you. Here are your sweetness. Here are his sweetness and his gentle innocence protected from attack. And here can he return in confidence, for faith in another is always faith in him. You are indeed correct in looking on your brother as his chosen home, for here you will with him and with his father. This is your father's will for you, and yours with his. And who is drawn to Christ is drawn to God, as surely as both are drawn to every holy relationship. The home is prepared for them as earth is turned into heaven.
Wow, now there's a healing. Earth is turned into heaven. That's a miracle too. We have just a few minutes. Let's use them to scoop up paragraph 1 of 468. And Dr. Day, would you read that paragraph for us? I got your mute. 468. We're restarting that section.
Message of the holy relationship.
Yes, sir.
For that reason, take another step. If you attack whom God would heal and hate the one he loves, then you and your creator have a different will. Yet if you are his will, what you must then believe is that you're not yourself. You can believe this, and you do. And if you have faith in this and see much evidence on its behalf, and you have faith in this and see much evidence on its behalf. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And where, you wonder, does your strange uneasiness, your sense of being disconnected, your haunting fear of lack of meaning in yourself arise? It's as though you wandered in without a plan of any kind, except to wander off again, for only that seems certain.
Listen to how the ego and its chaotic world exists. And the saving sentence in here is sentence number 3. Yet, if you are his will. That flips the coin on your identity and your perspective. The whole rest of the paragraph he just, Tim, beautifully read shows this uneasiness of the ego. It's lacking love. It's lacking true sharing. It's lacking joy. But if you are God's will and God is love, and you know it,
everything else is horseshit.
It is. And doesn't deserve the type of energy that perhaps you've been giving it. Don't take the world so seriously. Be ready to be the light of the world. Be ready to remember that you are one with God. Be ready to be the bridge between not only your thoughts, but some other thoughts that are appearing in your loved one. Be that bridge. Be those open eyes with lowered shoulders, no wrinkles on your forehead, no accusatory anything.
Find your function. What a relief.
What a relief. Yeah. Yeah. Be that. All resting on sentence three. If you are God's will. It's stated here and then moved on because it's the truth. It doesn't need support. It doesn't need convincing. When you read that sentence and you've had a holy instant of spaciousness and eternity, just one glimpse of not being your body, then you go, oh yeah, well, of course I am God's will. The only, all that exists is God's will in truth. Touching the holy instant is this set point that's out of time. See, every other ego thought is in time. But when you get, perhaps through meditation, not necessarily, but perhaps through meditation, you actually go still, you get very present. In those rare moments, that's why they're holy instances, you touch eternity. You touch the power of creation. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what you are and that you're not your body, which is so temporary, right? Everything about your body is temporary and fickle.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you know.
Andrew.
Yeah.
So that's a very different quality. It makes me think, you know how we always think that we have a choice and we have a free will and that we're always choosing, you know, and this is a very different approach because it's saying you are God's will. So if I am God's will, I have all I need to do is remember and rest on God's will.
Got a girl.
Versus choosing. So I mean, there's two different qualities of the will. So my question is, I'm coming up with a question because I've always, you know, we always have to choose, right? This is how we grew up. We always have to choose. We have a free will. And, you know, we're always choosing. But this is very different. So can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
I would like you to expand and you teach us. I want you to, you have it. You have it, Cecilia.
Well, I have the question.
Teach us the difference between choosing and remembering.
Well, I think choosing is once, remembering is our essence. So when we remember, that's who we are, right? Because we are God's will. All we need to do is remember that.
What does it feel like? What does it feel like when you're making a choice between alternatives, a choice between alternatives versus remembering?
Well, remembering is one.
It's one choice, right? It's one reality.
It's one reality.
It doesn't have an alternative.
The truth.
It has no alternative.
No,
It's so certain.
Choosing is an illusion that there is.
That's a girl.
That's
you got it. Wow. That's the quality you put your finger right on.
Mm.
It's so much more certain, and it's so much more embracing, and it's so much more fulfilling because it doesn't need a proof of any sort. It's the truth doesn't need to be proven. It just embraced, and it floods back in as you remember. The Course describes it this way. It's like remembering a forgotten song, one that you've – it's your favorite melody, not any melody, one that is so deep in your heart and your mind that just makes you move and tear up when you hear it. It's so beautiful. And starting to recall that is one direction, isn't it? There are not alternatives. There are not competing melodies, not to your favorite melody. No, no, no. So remembering, my dear, that is the perfect word, the perfect contrast from the discrete choosing of what would be equal alternatives that may compete with each other, but remembering does not. Well said, Cecilia. Beautifully, beautifully said. Tim?
Can I say something to Cecilia? Yeah. Memory has two parts. We always think memory is something about the past, right? We remember the past, but remembering also has to do with what you currently are. I remember what I am. This is a present moment version of memory, yeah. Right? And that's what I hear you talking about, and that's so exciting because that's the key. You remember what you are.
There's a chapter 28 in A Course in Miracles begins with two words. And the title is The Present Memory. Present Memory. Encapsulating what Tim was just teaching. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Cecilia. Thank you for your teaching. It was wonderful. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tim, for jumping in and blowing out my speakers. And thanks everybody for participating. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. I sure appreciate it, guys. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
Peace be with you all.
You know, I'm going to play this music again. If you want to listen in to this 6-minute music, you are welcome to do so. I'm going to play that as a goodbye. And here we go. Can you hear this?
Yes.
There it goes. Now it's working.
Now we're there.
All right.
Yeah. I was right.
Jason, you were right.
You were.
Right? We're happy.
By the love of God, let me be still. Let